guys can read that. Thank you for reading it. Yep, you can start the video on Google. Yes, this is the Cadillac of the Bibles, in case you're wondering. I have a very large extended family. They all wanted to get me the best. It only has the same words in it, though. Okay, so to give you a little background in the book of Matthew, because when I started reading the passage, I kind of wanted to know like where it was coming from. So in this Bible, it actually kind of has like a review at the beginning of the Bible where he's kind of coming from when he's talking about where Matthew's, who Matthew's talking to. So in this book, it's written around 50 AD, and Matthew is writing to the Jewish people, okay? So what you guys know about the Jewish people is a lot of them are still waiting for their Messiah, but at this point, he was trying to communicate with them that this is their Messiah. So in this story, he's kind of trying to show that Jesus is so great and so amazing that he was able to stand these temptations against the devil, and therefore, he would be their Messiah. Now, as we get closer to this passage, I'm going to read Mom's kind of overview on the screen sheet that she sent out in the bulletin. And she gave me a choice to either read the one on either side, and then when I read that this was like the first time the devil was talked about in the Bible, I was like, oh, I'm definitely reading that one. Okay? So I was going to read the little overview. Okay? So the baptism / temptation of Jesus in Matthew, another account of Jesus' baptism, and then the story of Jesus' temptation by the devil. This is the first time that the devil has been mentioned in any of our readings. He is hardly found in the Old Testament, but here in the Bible is trying to say that God doesn't do evil. More importantly, God is powerful, more powerful than evil. The devil has no chance against Jesus. Where do you see good defeating evil today? So that was kind of her, where I was supposed to jump off from a little bit. Okay. So we aren't going to do the baptism of Jesus. In case you want a brief summary, John the Baptist baptizes Jesus. Kind of sum up a little bit. He says, no, I'm not worthy of baptizing Jesus. And Jesus says, no, let me be baptized by you. So that was a whole other story in its own, but I'm going to look at exactly the temptation that Jesus is put under by the devil. So keep these things of how Matthew is writing to the Jewish people in mind as you read this, because I kind of read it, and maybe sometimes I was thinking, maybe it's a little glorified than what might have actually happened, because he was trying to prove something to the Jewish people. I don't know, but keep those things in mind. Okay, so Jerry already read passage, so I'm not going to read that for you guys. So, I'm going to start point by point, and I'll do a review if you guys want. But we'll start with the first point here, starting with what Satan says for the first temptation. If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. But he answered, it is written, man must not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. So, picture Jesus wandering around in the desert in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights. I would be really hungry at that point. So, Satan's kind of hitting the low ball at him, trying to get him to fall for the stones to bread trick, but Jesus doesn't budge. No. So as you kind of look deeper into this, there's nothing wrong with turning stones into bread. Like, Jesus does all kinds of miracles throughout the Bible, and a lot of people look at this passage and like, well, why doesn't Jesus just turn the stones into bread? That's not sinful. He's not hurting anybody else. But as I kind of discussed with my mom, and we came to a conclusion that Satan is trying to get Jesus to misuse his power, okay? So, and especially in the idea of just doing it for himself, and not, he's not making bread for other people, like you see in a lot of his miracles. This would be a very selfish use of his power. And Jesus doesn't need all of his power going back to him. So Satan is trying to get Jesus to misuse his power. And we'll kind of see this reoccurrence a lot, in which Satan isn't obviously trying to make us do sin a lot of times. So he was starving in the wilderness, and he says, hey, how would you make some bread for yourself? It could almost sound caring to some degree. Like, hey, you're looking really, really tired. How would you turn yourself some of these stones into bread? So I want you to keep that also in mind as we go into these other ones of how Satan sometimes can tempt us very cleverly. Okay? It's not just like, hey, kill that guy. He's really mean to you. That's pretty bold. We'd all kind of figure that out pretty quickly that you're probably not supposed to do that. Okay. Moving on to the second temptation of throwing yourself down to be saved by the angels. Okay? So the devil then took him to the holy city and had him stand on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will give his angels orders concerning you, and they will support you with their hands, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Jesus told him, it is also written, do not test the Lord your God. So I'm not sure if you picked up, but Satan used the words, for it is written, just like Jesus had. And Satan is actually, I'm not saying quoting direct scripture, but he's using scripture in this temptation to try to get Jesus to throw himself down so his angels can catch him. So that's probably the most fascinating part about this scripture, is how Satan is using God's fuel almost against him. So it wasn't like Satan had this pretty thought out. It's pretty thought out. Like, I know I'd fall for that. Like, if you have the voice in your head, like, reading scripture to you, like, of course that's God. Like, maybe that's Satan. So this one's really fascinating because Satan's using scripture to try to tempt him. So what this means for God is he's got to be on his A game for Jesus here, because he's, like, basing all his answers off scripture. So if then Satan is using scripture against him, he has got to be on his A game. So looking back at the first one, Jesus is hungry, but he chooses not to misuse his power as Satan wants him to. Then, in number two here, Satan's using scripture, so we need to be careful of mistaking Satan's voice for God's voice. Okay, I'm going to share a little story to break it up a little bit. This story has kind of evolved a little bit as I work over at Dockside at the marina where Dorothy keeps her boat, actually. And I work there a lot. I work and play baseball. That's pretty much what I do in the summer. But it's an awesome experience, and the people I work for are great. And I've begun to make lots of money. So generally, what I mostly do is I just give it to Dad, and then he pays my enormous tuition bill to CBA. But the little bit that I do keep, and most what I bring in, I tithe it. And I've actually been giving my money to CFO, but that's irrelevant. I've been tithing my income. So you take 10% of what you make each week, and you tithe it. But as God was like, no, that's just not enough. I was like, what do you mean, God? I'm like 16 years old. Like, what do you want me to do? And working at a dock, I don't get paid a waiter salary. So I get paid regular by the hour, but I also get tips, which is really, really cool. So I get tips when I help people's rescue, like I got to rescue Dorothy and Hill, Dorothy and out in the lake last year. I get tips when I help people fuel up. You guys know the deal when you tip people. But as I started bringing in all these tips, I was like, well, what should I do with these, God? And he goes, no, I want you to give all of your tip money to me. that's a lot of money. Like, what? I gave you 10% of this and you want this too? So what God has done is he's, all my tip money, I've been putting in the same Camden National, you know, white folder as my tithe money. And it's been pretty amazing to see how the tips just begin to roll in. So last year, the whole year, I made a certain amount in tips, I can remember. Well, yeah, it wasn't very much the whole year. And this year, through mid-July, I've already made twice that in tips. And it's all been going right to God. So, kind of thinking about this, I was like, well, I can only work so many hours, so I'm only going to be able to tithe so much. But tips is completely, I don't say judgmental, but it's up to the person whether or not they want to tip me. So I kind of left in God's hand, like, well, I'm going to be nice and courteous, and if God wants them to have tip me a lot, then that'll be sweet, because I'll give it all to God. But money is money, and as it keeps rolling in, there's always that voice in the back of the head of temptation. It's like, hey man, it's cash, it's not an account. Like, I think God will see, like, just put it in the wallet here, and maybe stroll out of the store. So this was some pretty tough temptation, I'd say, for someone of a 16-year-old, because I kind of made this pledge to God that I was going to give all my tip money to him. But as it keeps rolling in, the temptation keeps coming back to not give it to God. So keep me in your prayers for that. But I've been doing pretty good so far. Yep. So that was a temptation in my life recently. I was just trying to think of an example the other night when I was writing this, and that was a pretty good one. And Satan, I would say, to some degree, used scripture in this. Because in the Bible, it talks about tithing 10%. So why don't I just tithe 10% of my tip money, is what Satan keeps saying. Like, how would you just give 10% of that and keep the other part? So I have definitely experienced Satan being much more tricky than I would have thought. And as you can look back in your life and think, well, maybe, I mean, I'm sure all of you have done a lot of great things. But some things you think, you know, may be great and all glorious, but it's actually maybe Satan just twisting it a little bit to try to get you to do something that isn't so great. Move over here. Okay. The third temptation. So, again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. And he said to him, I will give you all of these things if you fall down and worship me. Then Jesus told him, go away, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him. So the third temptation, I will give you everything if you bow down and worship me. When I was kind of going over this part of the passage with my mom, she goes, that reminds me of the rest of the world, is what she said. She said, this is a tempting us to be like the rest of the world. Now, I'm not summing up that the whole world is all evil and all this, but there's definitely a lot of sin in this world. But about this one specifically, is he could give you everything in the whole world. So like, hey man, that's like a pretty sweet car. He could give it to you, supposedly. And she was making the point with me that that's what the rest of the world, to some degree, is like. If Satan is going to throw something in front of you, you're going to take it. And that's what's going to make us different, to some degree, is that we're going to have the foothold to say, no, you know, I don't want that shiny brand new car, Satan, because that is not what God has planned for me. So I challenge you guys to not be jurors, to not fall into the loophole of the rest of the world in terms of, okay, well, I guess like everything in the world would be pretty cool. But no, you're stronger than that, and Jesus knows that. Another thing to kind of pull from this third temptation here is the idea of idols. Jesus is supposed to be our only idols, and as he says, worship the Lord God and serve only him. And Satan here is trying to make other materialistic things, everything in the world, I guess you can say, idols above God, trying to get you to put anything above God. So for me, it would be like, oh, a trip to Snowbird. They have 4 feet of powder. That was like that idol would be like just climbing. Satan was really going to a lot of extremes. He wasn't even putting a specific boundary on it. He was saying anything in the world to try to get an idol to be above Jesus. Now, I'm not sure if the translation Jerry read is the same, but the last line of this, section, chapter 4, 1 through 11, is, then the devil left him, and the angels immediately came and began to serve him. And at first, when I first kind of read this, I kind of just glazed over, like, okay, yeah, just kind of sum it up, you know, the devil peaced out and I'll be back, or whatever, but I didn't really think about it at first, that the devil left him, and then immediately, angels came and began to serve him. This kind of represented the idea of spiritual warfare for me, kind of looking back on the passage, and you guys might have saw the sermon name was Spiritual Warfare, and I had a little warfare action with the kids, a little too violent, but the idea of spiritual warfare, and that this was the victory. Angels came immediately to him, and that was the victory over the devil. It was the victory. The devil had left. He said, nope, you got me 3 times, I'm out. So this is the symbol of the victory of spiritual warfare that Jesus achieved in this story. Now he was, going back looking at the first one, he was hungry. And Satan tried to tempt him with bread. But Jesus said no, because he knew at the end, when he achieved victory, the angels would be serving him. So when I read this, I was thinking, immediately angels began and served him food. Because he was starving, he made it through this dire battle with the devil, but now he needed nourishment. So the angels came and served him. So he knew that the angels were coming, if he was able to fight the fight. And I challenge you not to fall into the devil's temptation so much as to put up the stand of your spiritual armor and know that there's that victory at the end where the angels will come and serve you. Well, amen. That's all I have. We'll move on to our next thing.